through the prize box.
All right, we are continuing on this morning with Jonah chapter 2. Last week, Corey spoke on Jonah chapter 1, and let's going to do a little bit of a review on that. I'm looking for my clicker, all right? And I even have a, okay, all right. I even have a sound effect for this. It is Jonah part 2. You thought it was safe to go back in the water.
Right,
did you hear that?
Oh. Like a whale.
Right.
I know it's a whale. It's really a big fish, but that looks so cool, okay? So last week we heard this almost like it's a cliffhanger. Corey left us someplace and we don't know what's going to happen to this guy, Jonah, right? So what happened? That was crazy. All right. So last week, we heard this true story. A lot of people in the church world try to pretend like this was a fun, like, parable story that maybe didn't happen. It was just something example. But this, as far as we know, from what Scripture tells us, this was a true story. It was about a man named Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of God, which simply means God chose him to tell people God's message. Jonah was a very special guy that God needed to get his plan done. So God tells Jonah to go to this people group in Assyria, the city of Nineveh, and go tell them, I want you to stop sinning and I want you to follow me. That was the message that God gave Jonah to go tell these Ninevites, these Assyrians. Now let's do a review question. If you get this right, you may go to the treasury box if I call on you. Review question number one. Treasury box. What is that word, huh? I always write new words up here. Treasury box, okay. All right, so God asked Jonah to go to the group of people whom he, A, loved like a brother, B, sometimes liked, C, disliked, D, hated so much, hate. What do you think? How did Jonah feel about these Assyrians, these Ninevites? Gloria? You think sometimes he liked him? Good question, because you are so sweet, you like everybody. But no, he was, how did he feel about him, Shayun? D, he hated him so, hate. Yes, go to the treasure box, all right. He disliked them so much. Corey kind of went to the background of that. They had conflict between his people and the Syrians, and he did not want God to show compassion and grace to these guys, because he knew that God was a God of love and would give them a second chance. Because God said, if these people don't change, I am going to have them destroyed. So now, here's the next question. Jonah liked one part of God's plan. A, that he gets to go and tell the people of Nineveh to stop sinning and live for God. Or B, that the people of Nineveh would be destroyed if they didn't listen and obey. There was one part that he liked. Cameron. You are so sweet, too, because you would want him to go tell God, tell him about God's people. Yes, right. Yes, that's right. Yeah. No, you can meet Cameron there, okay, and help him pick something up. All right, so the people of Nineveh would be destroyed if they didn't listen and obey. And Jonah liked that, but not enough to go and obey God and go to these people. He still had that tiny part of him. What happens if they did listen and obey and all of a sudden turned and God blessed them and they'd be all happy? So Jonah said, you know what? I'm not happy with this place that God wants me to go, so I'm going to run away. And Jonah seriously ran away. Now, you may say, why didn't God make us like robots? You know, wouldn't have life been a lot easier if God just made us like robots? And we just did whatever God wanted us to do. It's kind of like if your boss told you to stay after really late after work for like 10 hours, and you're like, yes, boss, I will stay 10 hours late. Or your doctor said, I want you to exercise and eat healthy every day, and you're like, yes, I will eat every day. Well, I do that. But I will eat healthy every day and exercise. God didn't make us like robots. God made us with this thing called free will. That means we're not robots. God made us to be able to make choices. So if your boss asks you to stay late after work, guess what? You got a choice. You can stay late or you can go home. If your teacher asks you to do homework, Guess what? You can either do your homework or not do your homework. If your mom tells you to stop fighting with your brother or sister, you can either stop fighting with your brother or sister, or you can keep fighting. It's a free will. It's a choice. And so God clearly told Jonah, I want you to obey me and go to this people group whom you don't like and tell them about me and tell them to stop sinning. And yeah, is that cool? Yeah. And so Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. Actually, I'm going to run away and do the opposite thing of what you want me to do. You ever do that? You ever feel God's telling you to do something? Like perhaps you're in a conversation that's not so good, and you're talking about some things that aren't so good, and you feel the Spirit tell you, I should stop talking about this, but you lean in ever so closely because you want to hear more. That's exactly what I'm talking about here. Come on in, guys. This is so very loud, huh? Yeah, okay. So that's why, come on in, yeah, come on in. Hey, guys, come on in, yeah, it's fine. All right, so this idea that you have a choice to either follow God or not follow God, and sometimes when our spirit tells us, you know what, I want you to do this, and all of a sudden we do the opposite of what our spirit's telling us to do. Kind of like maybe you're watching a TV show that you don't want your parents to hear you watching, and instead of that tinge say, I should go turn this off, your tinge goes and makes you shut the door so that your parents don't come in to see you watching that TV show. Or you shut the curtains to make sure your neighbors don't see you playing that video game or watching that TV show. It's that tinge that you go the opposite way of what your spirit's talking to you about. So Jonah did that, and now I shall give you another sound effect. Opposite direction of where God wants him to go, and he ends up jumping on a ship heading towards Tarshish, which was the opposite direction of where he needed to go in Nineveh. And he's on the ship, and all of a sudden the waves start going crazy, and there is a crazy storm where the sailors who live on the sea are actually petrified that they're going to die and drown. And the sailors look around, they say, you know what, this storm is crazy. This is not a normal storm. We must have offended the gods. They didn't know the one true God, but they thought, we have offended somebody because this is crazy. Jonah fesses up and says, you know what? I know who I've offended. The one true God, the God I serve, the Lord of Israel. And I have offended him, so I am going to sacrifice myself, jump over into the water, and die so that you will be safe. End sound effect. So Jonah jumps into this water. The waves of this water are crazy waves. How many of you have been into a wave pool? Okay, some brave ones. How many of you have been to the deep end of the wave pool? Okay, that's worse. Now, I have done this very specific calculation of what the waves would have been the time that Jonah was in the water, knowing what I know about wave pools. I thought that was me. Okay, here we go. A wave pool's waves in the deep end times this equation that I have worked out makes it equal that the waves that Jonah faced were that number. What is that? 50,989,210,320% stronger than a typical wave pool. Now, what that spells out in layman's terms, because I know a lot of you don't have the minds I have, all right? What that spells out in layman's terms is you would have died. You would have drowned. Death was inevitable. So Jonah, at this point, he's not saying on the ship, okay, God, I'm going. He's saying, okay, I'm just going to have to die because I don't want these sailors to die too. I'm the one running from God. So he goes in, all right? He goes into these waves that I've calculated here, and it's sudden death, all right, for him. So this is what happens. Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Okay, that's a long time. Let's talk about what it would be like to be inside a giant fish. Tell me, first thing that pops in your mind, living inside a fish. Samara. Bad breath, to say the least. Yes. Claustrophobic, yeah, okay. Yes, claustrophobic. There is no windows, there's no air. Another thing. Be inside a fish. What are you thinking? Smelly. What did you say? Slippery. Yes. Slippery slope. What did it say over here?
Smelly.
Stanky? No, that's a good smelly? Yeah. Smelly Peyton. Smelly, yes. You know what I was also thinking? What about the other things that the fish had eaten? that was still alive, right? It's not like chomping on every bit, just... Yeah. All right, so I have some pictures. All right. That's inside of a fish. These are actual pictures from the internet, okay? So inside of a fish, that's some food and critters from inside the fish. That is probably make-believe, but it looks cool, all right, inside a fish. So Jonah is now inside the fish, the Bible tells us, for 3 days. Now think about being inside that dark. I mean, you can't see a thing. So when you put your hand into something, you have no idea what it is because you cannot see. It's pitch dark. There's no light anywhere. Squish, squish. All over you. Think of 1 minute. Jonah was in there. Again, let's go back to my math calculations. 4,320 minutes. Okay? It is then, when he was in this belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights, it was then that he prayed to God. Okay, I don't want to point out something to Jonah and bad talk him, but that seems pretty stubborn, doesn't it? He was in there 3 days and three nights. I got to tell you, the first time it was coming for me, Lord, get me out of here. I'll do anything you want. I don't care if I don't like those people. I will obey you. But no, 3 days and three nights. That is something to think about this stubborn, stubborn man. So then finally, Jonah does this. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. So as soon as he called out to God, he felt God's presence. Called to you from the land of the dead. Yes, it felt like death inside that fish. And Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. That's what it would have felt like. Remember that calculation of the waves. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. How many of you have ever, like, felt scared in the water? Like, oh, this is getting too much, okay? Yeah. Do you imagine what this intensity would be in the ocean? Nothing to hold on to. He continues with his prayer. Then I said, oh, Lord, you have driven me from your presence. Okay, we see a little bit of his heart here. He's blaming God a little bit here. You have driven me from your presence. Not, hey, I didn't listen to you, and now this happened to me. It's, you've driven me from your presence. Yet I look once more toward your holy temple. I'm back. I'm back again. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed. Now he gets a little more graphic because he's really thinking, this is what I felt like. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates lock shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord. Good idea. And my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. Now he's talking about the Ninevites who turn their back on God and worship other false gods. Those who worship false gods, they turn their back on your mercies, God. He's throwing in a thing there, but please don't save those people. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Jonah has some aha moments here. Jonah has the aha moment of, you saved me from drowning in the ocean with waves calibrating up to 50 billion degrees. You saved me even though I was wrong. I need to fulfill my commitment to you. My job is to tell people your message. I will do this because I know that my salvation comes from you, and I am nothing without you. Does not matter what I think or how I feel or what I need. It's about you. It's about you. We often are Jonahs. We make our life all about us. Don't I give enough? Haven't I done enough? Haven't I sacrificed enough? I've shared enough. I've changed enough. I've suffered enough. It's my turn to live. Don't I deserve this? Don't I deserve happiness? Aren't I owed this? When is it my turn? It's my life. It took Jonah 3 nights in a bad situation to realize that life is not about him. It's about God and God's plan. God had a reason why he wanted the Ninevites to turn to him. God had a reason why he picked Jonah to send the message. God had a reason why he gave Jonah another chance. God had a plan, and God's plan is best. When you obey God, you put God first. And when you put God first, you don't pine over decisions and choices.
You don't have to hide anything when you put God first. You don't have to run because you're putting God first. You don't have to be insecure because God's first. You don't have to worry about getting in trouble because God's first. You don't have to feel ashamed and guilty because you're putting God first. You don't have to please other people when you put God first. When you obey God, you make life about God. When you disobey God, you have to run. You have to hide. You have to worry. You have to lie. You have to feel ashamed and guilty. You aren't happy. When you disobey God, you make life about yourself. When Jonah finally came to the realization that life was not about him, but about God and God's plan, he uttered these words, "But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, not with complaining, and I will fulfill my vows, because for my salvation comes from the Lord alone." Jonah now was ready to be a part of God's plan. If you have a relationship with the Lord, that means that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. He's your best friend. And you know that you're going to be in heaven one day and you want God to be in first place of your life. You have daily choices to make. And your daily choice is between God being in first place and you being in first place. And you'll have these choices in your homes. You'll have these choices at school. You'll have these choices at work with your coworkers, with your boss, with the people that you serve, on the playground, at the pool, when you turn on the TV, when you do your taxes, when you're driving, when you're picking a college, when you're playing a sport, when you are dating, when you're in a marriage, as you parent and how you live your life. You are either going to be obeying and following God's plan, or you're going to be disobeying and following your own. Can you say that at the end of your day, your week, your year, your kid years, your teenage years, your adult years, your middle-aged years, your golden years of your entire life. Oh, where did that go? "But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone." Can you say at the end of your day, it's all about you, God? All right, let's worship.